You are now listening to The After Deck.
Hello, listeners. This is Kate Chastain, and I want to welcome you to another episode of After Deck. This is our penultimate episode for our first season of After Deck, so we're packing a lot into this episode, and I'm a little bit sad. This has been so fun, getting to recap Below Deck and talk to each one of our cast members and some other awesome people this season. So for this episode, we have not one, not two, but three guests. I announced on last week's episode that one of those guests is Chef Matt Burns. We're going to talk to him, and we had a great time laughing and talking about some of the best moments of this last episode, and we may have even written a little song of the year that you guys will get to hear. But also, I have Blake and Emerson from The People's Couch. They were actually yacht guests on Motor Yacht Valor last season, so not only are they kind of Bravo family members, but they have washed Below Deck from their couch and from the comfort of the main salon. And they were some of my favorite charter guests ever, so I'm really looking forward to chatting with them. Before I get to that, so I had a pretty busy weekend. On Friday night, I hosted the grand opening, official grand opening, of Genesis Boutique and had a ribbon-cutting ceremony. We've been open for about 2 months, but that was right after the hurricane, and we're just getting the store going. So this was a really nice way to celebrate it as a fully functioning and successful, I might add, store. I had one of our volunteers, her name's Shargood, and she's like kind of insta-famous. She has half blue hair, and she dresses like Japanese Harajuku Gwen Stefani punk style, but she also plays the classical violin. So she helps out the store about once a week, and she played violin for the event, which really saved my ass, because you could serve pretty much anything on paper plates, but if you've got a violin player, it just feels so special and elegant. But we also had a lot of food donated. I didn't even have to ask restaurants. They just heard through like social media that we're having a grand opening, and they approached me and offered, and we had food, so much food left over, and that was from Petty's Market. And then we had two different bakeries drop off stuff, and we had about 20 bottles of champagne left over from the gala, and now there are only three left, so I feel like that was a big hit. And then on Saturday, I drove down to Fort Lauderdale because Captain Lee invited me to a black tie ball leading up to next week's Winterfest boat parade. And at the time, I was kind of like, oh gosh, I'm so tired from the grand opening party. I don't really want to drive down there, but I love Captain Lee, and he keeps trying to tell me how great it's going to be, so I'm going to go do it. And I am so glad that I listened to him, because it was unbelievable. It certainly made my ribbon cutting party look a little pathetic, to be honest. I mean, it was at the Hard Rock Live Casino. They had an 8-foot robot walking around, painted go-go dancers. The Jersey Boys performed. It was lobster and filet and such a magical evening. So thank you, Captain Lee, for including me in that. And then I just drove back again this morning, 2.5 hours, to record After Deck. And so my weekend was pretty extra, I guess you could say. But I feel like, you know, 2017 is coming to a close, and I don't want to be basic. And I feel like saying extra is just getting a little played out. So I am campaigning for a new slang term to replace extra. And I think it should be Uber. So last night's ball was so Uber. I mean, you might even say it was Uber XL. It was pretty amazing. So now I'm back in Melbourne and winding down after my Uber XL weekend. I hope you guys all enjoy listening to me chat with Emerson and Blake from The People's Couch, and also Chef Matt. So today on After Deck, I have two very special guests. They were my favorite charter guests, and now they might be my favorite podcast guests. It's Blake and Emerson from a Bravo show you guys might recall called The People's Couch, which is sadly no longer on. But Blake and Emerson, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Kate. We're so happy to be here.
Yay! I mean, I don't know that we can live up to Kristen Chenoweth, but we'll do our best.
I don't know. It looks like you guys have been very busy since I talked to you last, and you guys are doing some pretty major things. So, Emerson, you have produced a thing called Very Sordid Wedding, right?
Yes, it's a movie set in Texas. It's a sequel to a movie called Sordid Lives, and it's basically about what happens when marriage equality comes to a small Texas town that's not quite ready for it. And we opened it this year in 60 cities, and I traveled to 45 of them since March. So it's been me bus and trucking our little movie across the country. But it stars Leslie Jordan, Caroline Ray, a cameo from Whoopi Goldberg, Bonnie Bedelia. So it's really fun, and I've had a great time.
And Blake's in it as well?
I do have a very brief cameo, but more importantly, I wrote the song that's over the end credits of the film. And he literally means brief. Like, he's in his briefs in the movie. I made him be, like, product placement in the movie.
Well, I was going to say, you're the producer, so I'm not surprised there.
Right?
I would have loved to watch a show about you guys just touring around with this, what sounds like a very impressive project that you've produced.
Well, it was really exciting. My producing partner, our writer-director, Del Shores, you know, he produced on Queer as Folk, and we did Sordid Lives as a TV series for Logo in 2008. And we did, you know, there's something special about getting to travel the country at such a weird time right now and share a movie that's a comedy about all of us learning to love and appreciate each other for who we are. And we had a great time, like traveling from Roanoke, Virginia to Seattle to Waco to Toronto and seeing the country.
How did you become involved with A Very Sordid Wedding? It was originally a TV show, you said, but did you produce that one as well?
I did. I was a producer on the TV series. It's funny, you know, people think that, like, all we do is sit on our couch and watch TV. And while that's true, my actual job is TV and film production. I was actually producing this movie while we were shooting the last season of The People's Couch. So I was in Canada producing the movie and flying back on Saturdays and Sundays to shoot The People's Couch with Blake and Scott. I mean, that's a princess problem, obviously.
Oh, you were so good on The People's Couch. I loved it. And Blake, you've also been doing some musical projects, correct?
Yes, I have. Quite a bit of stuff in New York this year, actually. I've been jumping back and forth. I made my two directorial debuts off-Broadway, which is something I've always wanted to do. And then a cabaret show that's my own called Blake Sings Barbara. I've done now 3 times in New York and 2 times in L.A. And it's basically my ultimate fan tribute to Streisand's very specifically 1994 concert. I'm obsessed with it and have been obsessed with it since I was a little kid. And so I walk you through the entire show and recreate certain moments from it. It's ridiculous.
Oh my gosh, I want to see that so bad. You are the cutest. I bet it's really good. Well, congratulations. Do you dress like her?
No, it is absolutely, I mean, I wear suits that are inspired by the looks, but I'm definitely myself, just being a total fangirl, just talking you through it and explaining to you why. I also share a little bit about my own story in 94 and why this 9-year-old kid was so obsessed with it. And there's like things that were going on in my life. I was filming Full House and The Little Rascals at the same time that this concert hit my life and all the weird things that were going on. I kind of combine her stories and my own.
Blake, my first question is, do you have a white microphone? Because isn't that like Barbara's thing?
You know what? Funny enough, that came after 94. That was Oprah. When she went on Oprah,
yep,
and had the white cowl neck, that's when she decided she couldn't break the line. But also, this just shows how much of an obsessive fan he is.
Yeah, he's like, that was on October 17th, 1996.
Correct. Right? It's like sort of sad and shocking.
Forgive me, but I didn't know that you were on Full House and Little Rascals.
Yeah, I was. I call myself a recovering child co-star. I wasn't quite a child star. I was the co-star. I mean, he's being modest. He won Star Search when he was like 7 years old. Like, I was still learning, like, Hooked on Phonics and trying not to piss myself at 7. And he was like holding a microphone like the size of his torso and singing Barbara Streisand on national television.
Do you know what's really weird? I used to watch Star Search every Saturday, and I feel like when you said that, I feel like I flashed to Minnie Blake singing on a stage, and I remember it.
There was definitely like little baby tuxedos happening and a giant microphone that wasn't white.
Not white.
I wish it had been.
Can I YouTube that? Can I see that?
I think some stuff is on YouTube. If not, I'll send you some clips.
Oh, yes, please. I know what I'm doing on my Sunday night tonight. So are you guys doing anything special for the holidays?
Oh, yes, we are, actually. We are traveling. We're going to Texas for the holidays.
Yeah, to Dallas.
Why? Do you guys have family there, or do you guys just love that?
Yes.
Okay.
My family's in Dallas, and there's a great hotel there that we love that was one of our sponsors. We shot my movie. We shot part of it in Winnipeg in Canada and part of it in Dallas, right down the road from the neighborhood. And in my family, we do Christmas like it's a sport. Like, there's multiple days of activities. We used to sing and play handbells as a family. There's, like, coordinated activities from, like, cookie decorating to going to look at Christmas lights. It's an intense and aggressive holiday schedule.
Oh, my goodness. How many siblings do you have?
I have two younger brothers. One of whom used to enjoy the, like, family singing, and one of them who was like, can we please stop doing this? You're all terrible.
Does your mom and dad sing as well? You guys are like a little mini Texas Partridge family.
Literally, we were. Like, I directed and played in a handbell choir when I was in middle school. You're welcome. We're, like, those kind of, like, church Christmas people. Like, it's really
intense.
Oh, yeah,
they're the Von Trapps of Dallas. Like, it's impressive. There are multiple trees, multiple decor schemes.
The hills are alive with the sound of handbells.
Yes. Correct. Accurate. Coming to Lifetime at midnight on Christmas Eve.
What are you guys' favorite Christmas movies? You guys watch those? Is that part of it? Like, People's Couch, Holiday?
Yes.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. For me, it's Love Actually is like my modern holiday tradition.
Okay. But, like, in the way that he, like, watches it and smiles and laughs and also cries and quotes along. And they have, like, a running commentary along with the movie.
Yeah, my friends and I sort of have, like, a Rocky Horror Picture Show kind of, like, call out with Love Actually that happens.
Yeah, and I'm, like, a normal person, and mine's White Christmas.
Mine's White Christmas!
I love it, except for that choreography number that I still don't understand what the hell is happening there.
My favorite, and I will always want this outfit, it's out there somewhere, Sisters.
Yes.
Those
yes.
blue feathers with the rhinestones.
With the fans,
yes, the feather
accurate.
Fans. That is my favorite movie.
There's hers and his outfits of that. Like, Blake and I could wear the boy version and you could wear the girl version. And, like, we can do both numbers.
And I think that when they're on the train and they're doing little snowscape out of glasses and napkins, yes, I think that inspired my table setting passion from an early age.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Totally.
It all tracks
totally
back.
Wow. I'm so
where
glad
they make
you
the little trees
Christmas.
Out of sprigs.
Yes. Yep, exactly. They would make great yacht stewardesses. So, have you guys been able to watch any of Below Deck this year?
Yes, we have.
I have seen all of it because obviously.
And I'm caught up. I'm caught up at like the I watched the first like four episodes and the most recent three. So I missed a couple in the middle.
That's okay. It's kind of like, you know, you get the gist of it. Jen's kind of a disaster.
Totally.
Matt's not as passionate as Ben. Because you guys had a very rare chance that many viewers don't have, that you guys were also charter guests. So you guys have seen Below Deck from that vantage point.
Yes.
Is there anything you noticed differently about watching this season of Below Deck now that you've been a guest?
Well, I feel bad because it felt like this season was like you carrying the crew up the hill on a cross.
It's true.
Like the weird levels of incompetence meets arrogance that happened this season,
yes.
I honestly don't know how you put up with it. Because, like, it's one thing to have no idea what you're doing. It's another thing to have an attitude about not knowing what you're doing.
Yes, I agree. I don't mind if you don't know what you're doing. I'm kind of getting used to it at this point. But the attitude is confusing. It's caught me off guard. It's very strange.
It's shocking. It's like, for as green as they all started out, why the opinions?
Yes, I know. And I love that you used a Jesus reference, up the hill with a cross.
Oh, yes. Like, honey, you were on your way to Golgotha. Like, you were up the Via Dolorosa. Like, Mary herself. Like, it really was. But I will say, what's always interesting and what was the greatest thing about, like, being a charter guest was that, genuinely, I don't think there's a way to communicate, like, to viewers what an incredible experience it truly is for the charter guests. You know, because a lot of the show focuses on, like, what's happening between you guys. But as guests, we don't see any of that. And it truly was the most glorious, high-end, five-star service
it was insane.
Experience.
Yeah, it was insane. To the point that every time any charter guests on any charter leave the boat, I'm like, why? Why would you? Why would you step off in the middle of your charter? Like, don't. Like, trust me, everything you are drinking and eating on that boat is better than anything around you.
Oh, that's true. I mean, let's not pass that around to the general public because I want to encourage them to leave the boat. But in my mind,
course,
I'm thinking,
yes.
I don't know why you're doing it, but I'm happy you are.
No, I get it, because it's like your break time and your time to plan for parties and do all of that when they get off the boat. It makes sense. But like on our charter, you know, we got off and went to whatever that like Captain Jack Sparrow's meth barge boat was.
Yes.
And we were there for like 30 seconds. And I was like, why would we pay for drinks here when Kate has Vuv on the boat? Like, we're ready to go.
Yeah, you got tendered over to like a rickety little boat from your yacht. That's hilarious.
Totally. They were literally like, you can jump off the roof of this. And I was like, okay, can we go now?
Yeah. I can also jump off the roof of my yacht.
Right, exactly.
Correct.
Like, I can make the boys get to work and put up a slide that they hate putting up, and that's kind of funny, and I can just do it right here, and then when I get off, they have Dr. Pepper for me.
Yes, you did love your Dr. Pepper. and you also loved Ben's Grilled Cheeses, which maybe a grilled cheese is always good. I have a theory, like, everyone loves grilled cheeses. Like, if you are at lunch with somebody and somebody orders a grilled cheese, no matter what you ordered, you're going to regret your decision. Like, a
correct,
grilled cheese
right.
is always the right answer.
Well, but and also, that speaks to how amazing the experience was for us. Because, you know, Blake is a high-end foodie and, like, likes the high-end wine and champagne. And I'm, like, Dr. Pepper and grilled cheese. And the ability to, like, meet both of those levels, like, with a smile, like, really speaks to how hard you guys all work. And I feel like sometimes viewers forget, because we see just the stressful moments, truly how amazing what you do. Like, more you than everybody else, but, like, mostly you.
Oh, thank you. It was super easy when I had, like, fun, lovely guests, which you guys were. I was actually sad to see you guys go, which is a rarity for charter guests. So I'm like, okay, let me help you get your luggage.
You're like, bye. I will say, I was a little wah-wah about the guests this season, if I'm being honest.
Okay, so any examples? Like, my favorite guest of this season, I would have to say, was the Blind Side lady.
That's what's going to be mine. Yeah. Like, Leah, like, she's an amazing, like, real figure. And they were, like, fun and funny and sassy. Like, they gave good TV and then got out of the way and they weren't super complainy.
They gave good TV, but they were also really lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That good Southern, although you doing the prayer along with them doing the prayer is like my entire childhood, like growing up. You were like, they're going to pray and it's going to sound like this. And it was like every Baptist luncheon I ever went to.
Oh, I know it. Yeah, because I grew up in a really, really religious family as well. But I think that's maybe... Sorry, my dog is going crazy.
Hi, Halo.
You guys came on board with Rebecca Fearing, the psychic.
Yes.
And yes. Like you said, they don't show a lot on the TV show of everything that happens. And I think that it was funny how they showed her trying to give Captain Lee a reading. But it wasn't that funny because she actually gave very accurate readings to the majority of the crew. I think Captain Lee was the only one she didn't hit the nail on the head with. She even said to me that I was going to get a dog, and I sure did.
And there you go. Yeah, when we walked into her readings of Lauren and Nico and Kyle, it was unbelievable what was going on. Like, we were even caught off guard with how accurate and specific all of those were, and then cut to dinner, the one misstep.
I did feel like it was a little a disservice to her, just because it was, you know, like, Kyle was tearing up. Like, she called out Ashley's name. Like, she pulled Ashley's name out of the air, and that was before any of us knew that he had this girlfriend named Ashley at the time. You know, and so it was sort of a little unfair, you know, that we didn't see any of where she got it right, because she did, like, just fall like a lead weight in the reading with the captain. And I was like, oh, let's just talk about something else. This dinner is lovely. Ben, you're so great.
Yeah, but I also think that one of the reasons maybe she couldn't give Captain Lee a proper reading is because I don't think he's open to it, you know? I think you have to, like, kind of let your vibe be open to the idea of a psychic taking your reading. And I think he's closed down, like, didn't want really any part of it, like, old school, doesn't believe in that hippie mumbo jumbo or whatever. So I think that's probably why she didn't necessarily get a good read on him. But I know with Ben, and I met his friend Ollie, who's like the heir to the Guinness fortune.
Oh, wow.
And I met his friend Ollie a long time ago. They've been friends since they were a child. And Ollie's dad was Ben's godfather, and he recently passed away. And I'm the only one that's ever met Ollie. Nobody on the production, no one. So she brought up Ollie's dad to Ben, and I was standing right there, like, serving you guys a Dr. Pepper or something, and I was blown away because Ben doesn't tell anybody that.
Right. Wow. I didn't know that either. Of course, I was just busy having a good time.
Well, did you guys ever get readings from Rebecca Dunn?
Yes, she
found something while we were on the boat. She got an image of basically described this photo of my grandfather that I had on my phone, and I had never spoken to her about my grandfather. And like, she literally pulled up the specifics of his Air Force uniform that he's wearing in this one photo that I keep of him on my phone. And she was like, yeah, I see him, and literally described the man. It was my grandfather. And I showed the photo, and she was like, yeah. Like, not surprised at all. Just, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, wow. She was lovely. She was very lovely. It's kind of like she can't even turn it off. Like, she's not doing these readings to show off. Like, no. They just come into her head, so she just feels the need to share them. And she'd be like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I just find that exhausting, because, like, I have enough voices in my head without, like, actual strangers. Like, I don't need any, like, that's enough. Like, how do you mute them? Like, girl, shut up. I'm just trying to eat dinner.
Yeah. Oh, here, I got another one coming in. Darn it. Like, there's eight. Go for a swim.
Yeah, it's like eight people at the table and like 34 ghosts standing. Like, that's it.
Well, that's what
too
we
much.
Were joking about. Like, our charter really had about 150 guests on board.
And at least you didn't have to serve them all.
I know. Poor Rebecca was the chief stew to the spirit.
She really was.
Literally.
I'll get to you in a second, okay, Grandma?
Like, I'm busy.
Yeah. So let's go back to this season of Bolo Deck a little bit.
Yes.
What do you think was the most uncomfortable or awkward moment of the season that you guys saw, or anything that surprised you?
For me, it's anytime Jen opens her mouth, but
she is full of surprises, that Jen. But, and that's another person I think that she's definitely has some very disrespectful moments, some very not so great at her yachting job moments, but she's so hilarious. I think you guys would have really gotten a kick out of her.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no, in person, I feel like completely amusing. But, you know, when we're watching, and obviously we're biased towards you because we love you. And, you know, we want your job to soar, and we want you to be seen in the perfect light. So anytime she was challenging you, I was like, no, not today, Jen.
Well, I just found that she was really brave, because, like, I'm mouthy and quippy and quick on my feet, but, like, I would know that I needed to bring my A game to, like, get into a war of words with you.
Thank you.
Genuinely. Like, she separate did. From Stu and all of that, like, that is one of your, like, spiritual gifts. And so anytime she opened her mouth to sass back, I was like, that is so brave. You are so brave.
You know what's funny? You're right. I actually, maybe that's another reason she's funny, but I also kind of respect her for that. Like, oh, okay, honey, you want to bring it. You want to get into it. And you're not totally doing bad, because she's pretty quick-mouthed herself.
Yes. Well, and also, there is a fundamental difference. When you talk about somebody that's a parent, that's a little older, sometimes learning to take someone else's authority can be difficult. And that may be harder for us to watch as viewers, and yet there'll be lots of great moments between you guys in between that we don't see, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But I agree. A lot of people have compared her to being like the Rocky of the season, or...
No,
like,
that's not fair. No, I don't think that's fair.
No.
I don't either. They're like, who would you rather work with, Jen or Rocky? I'm like, 100% Jen. I mean...
Oh, yeah, Jen any day of the week, yeah.
Jen just has an attitude problem, and she has the problem of... she thinks her hard work is equivalent to everyone else's. So, like, oh my gosh, I worked really hard today. Well, right, but you still didn't work as hard as, like... Bree and Kate did. So even though that was like your 100%, it's like not enough.
Yeah. Or like, even if we had the same job, I would be able to get it done a lot quicker. So
correct.
I just get more work done in the day just because of an efficiency thing. Do you want to hear something so great? This, I love it when people follow their personal legends in life and find their way. And clearly yachting was not for Rocky, but she found it. And she joined the circus.
Oh, my God. Yes, amazing. Absolutely. Can you have her back on the boat to do, like, carnival?
Yeah, I know.
You know, and then she can jump off the boat and it's, like, part of the show instead of because you're a lunatic.
That's what I'm saying. Jumping into, like, the pool of water from the high dive.
Yes.
Doing the flips.
Yes.
The mermaid tail. Like, the circus is
catapulting
perfect for
through
her.
A ring of flames. Like, whatever.
Yeah, setting herself on fire.
Leon's oven. Yeah. So
my
funny.
Most awkward moment of the season, like, on the serious side, Bruno manhandling her was mine. You know, like, literally anytime anyone tried to be, like, physical or sexual with anyone was awkward this entire season. Because, like, either people who don't know how to flirt or, like, you picked the wrong person. But that was uncomfortable just because no matter how belligerent she was being, she wasn't being physically aggressive beyond getting in his face. And, like, putting your hands on someone is always another level. Like, no matter how much you think you're being helpful, like, that was very much across a different line, even though she was being unreasonable in the moment as well.
I agree.
That was really hard to
watch.
And
I didn't see that until it aired, but then what really was interesting to me was then he was like, and she scratched me. Like,
Right.
He kind of made himself the victim after he's the one that put his hands on
her. Where you're like, sir, and we saw that angle of you grabbing her arm. Like, she is not a fleshy woman, and you were like, we could see her arm breaking. Like,
yeah, and he works out every day. And he said, I'm going to lock you in the bathroom. And Captain Lee had a really funny point about this. He goes, and by the way, Bruno, the bathroom's locked from the inside. I didn't even think about that.
Hello.
Like, what are you going to do? Like, stand in front of the door, like, all night long, sir?
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciated Bruno for, like, all the cutaway moments to his 18-pack and, like, the shots of his ass through the season. But he's kind of like an insta-gay in the sense that I'd prefer to see you in my Instagram feed and not really hear you.
Well, good news. You can, because he posts naked photos on Instagram every day, well, usually with an inspirational quote that beauty is on the inside.
Of course.
Honey, that's okay. Know your ass, Etz.
No, I mean, I agree with you. He's got a beautiful physique, and he loves sharing it, but I didn't love his presence on the boat so much. I mean, you guys tell me, he's pretty sassy diva, right?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. There's definitely some, like, unearned attitude moments. Like, that was a little bit, like, early on, it definitely felt like, I don't know what, I'm trying really hard. The beginning of the season, I thought he was trying really hard and he didn't know it because he came from cruises. And I love the shade from you guys to cruises. That's just, hilarious to me every time. But then it was like, I have attitude and I want to do everyone's job. I'm going to be a stew and a chef. And like, oh my gosh, what are you, a one-man boat band? Calm down.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm going to do all of the jobs, just not that very well. Like, how about you just
none of them
one?
Well.
Yeah.
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 I did think there was a huge missed opportunity. When Kyle got on the boat and went for Jen, I was like, no, why don't go for Bruno? There's such a huge opportunity here for the, like, bi panboy, like, meetup moment. Like, make that happen.
I see a lot of people on social media have said that, like, when that episode aired, like, that's what they thought was going to happen. But I never got that vibe because I don't think, well, I don't know Kyle that well. I think actually Kyle would hook up with anything. Willing. But
I feel like he just likes a crazy challenge, like a challenge that's also crazy.
He just wants to experience a little bit of everything, the buffet of the world.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, I don't think that Kyle would have been Bruno's type either. I don't know.
Somehow, no matter how much beauty is on the inside, I don't think that Bruno would apply it there.
No, I don't either.
That was tacky.
So tacky.
What do you guys think of Chef Matt this season?
Well, I'm just really grateful that we got Chef Ben's food, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Yeah, Chef Ben's very talented. And you guys even had to hear a little bit of Ben's attitude with me, because you guys were in the main salon.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the fateful coffee morning.
Oh, my God, it was our favorite moment.
We accidentally stumbled into a scene that was not our business.
Like, mommy and daddy are fighting. Oh, no.
That was so funny. But, I mean, to be fair, you didn't stumble. You were sitting in the main salon, which is definitely a guest area, which is our screams were getting a little bit too loud from the galley. But you guys were very sweet about it. I didn't know you were sitting there, honestly.
Also, it seems like there's a trade-off. You know, with people that are really gifted, sometimes you get, like, the crazy emotional yo-yo thing. It seems like Matt's a really great guy that, like, I bet he would do really well on a next yachting experience, having learned sort of what it takes to make that much food that often every day and still be creative and inspired as you get more tired through the season.
I think that he's used to being on private yachts, which is a whole different thing than charter yachts, because he's so nice. Like, I think his last yacht, it was like a married husband and wife, older couple. To get to know Matt, he's lovely. And they just don't want fancy stuff every day. But if they want, like, a nice Caesar every day and, like, a nice, plain, normal meal every night, then he can accommodate that. But that's just not what charter guests want. So.
Right. And that is a completely different skill.
Yeah.
Like, being able to know one group of people really well and know their taste profiles intimately and be able to convey that on a consistent basis is totally different than this rotating, you know, insane schedule.
Right. Because those guests don't know whether it's charter one or charter nine.
They shouldn't.
So if there's only five or six meals, every one of them has to be an explosive extravaganza.
Yeah.
And that is something that Ben definitely understood, you know, despite what was entertaining for us, the back and forth between the two of you. Like, I was always blown away by how much food Ben put out for us.
Oh my gosh.
Like 87 dish options.
And they're all
beautiful. Blake's got all his spicy choices, and I've got all my, like, plain beef choices, and every one of them, great taste and exquisite presentation.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also at the same time, Ben would never be able to go work on a private yacht because the boredom would kill him. He would say, I can't do this. I need to flex my creative muscles. Like, so Ben and Matt are completely opposite in that way. And
yeah,
also,
Ben would do a Rocky off the side of the boat.
Yeah. But also, Matt does love musical theater. He majored in it in college.
Shut up.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Matt.
I know.
That's exciting.
I wish he would have broken into a little more song and dance throughout the season.
Like, right. I feel like that was an opportunity he missed to be doing like, oh, in the kitchen, now I'm making food. Like,
yes.
Whatever. Just give me a song and dance about your kitchen moments.
Please. Yeah, I agree. Oh man, just that little musical number makes me wish I could be stuck on a boat with you guys for 6 weeks. You're so funny.
It would be a lot of like impromptu song and dance.
That would
moments.
Be a show. That's a real, a multiple tiered show.
It would be, yeah, it would be a musical for sure. So you guys are pretty familiar with Below Deck cast members. Let's play. We're going to play a couple quick games.
Yay.
Okay, so first we're going to do Would You Rather.
Okay, bring it.
Would you rather be bunkmates with Kelly or be a guest on a cruise ship where Bruno works?
Bunkmates with Kelly.
Yeah, bunkmates with Kelly for sure.
I mean, the whole internet saw that photo.
Yeah. Oh.
Bloop.
Oh, that was weird
oh,
to me.
Oh, he went there. He just went there.
I forgot about it. So my initial reaction was like, oh, ooh, because, you know, I see him as like a brother kind of. But also,
totally.
It was very manicured.
Correct. I mean, he takes care of himself. Genuinely also, I feel like Kelly is one of those, like, in person, like, he was so delightful. Like, every frat boy that I went to college with at Baylor, like, he was like that guy.
He's lovely.
Yeah, he was really wonderful.
But I did think, maybe I'm spoiled, but I thought it was a weird shape. It looked like a cone.
That is a comment that a lot of the internet offered. And I thought, but see, as a boy who has one, I'm like, you know, we can't control those things. There aren't really cosmetic surgeries for it.
Hey,
so
I'm not
you're
saying
stuck
it's
with-
bad. I had never run across that shape before. And I thought I had done plenty of research, to be honest.
Well, I mean, according to Jen, you've done all the research.
Yeah, I wish I was doing more research than I am.
I mean, but like, where's Jesus? You need to let Jesus take the wheel again, Kate.
I know, he's in Guadalupe. And I think I might go see him in January, just, you know, because I want a vacation. And so that's kind of, you know, multitasking. I could do some research and
research
a vacation.
And vacay. Yes. Sounds like a plan.
Or venture back to the lady pond. I mean, you have choices.
I don't think so. I think that was like a travel,
one and done.
Yeah, travel to a new country just to see if I like it. But I'm like, no, don't think I want to go back there.
Right. It was like a vacation place. You're like, I'm glad I went, but like now I can check it off the list.
Yes. Don't need to do that twice. So next, would you rather? Would you rather eat a grilled cheese made by Ben or have Matt prepare you a tasting menu?
Mine is obviously grilled cheese by Ben.
Yeah.
I would still go for the tasting menu. I really would.
Yeah.
As long as you pick the menu, okay.
Yeah. If it was like the most recent charter where you like said this is what's happening, then I'd be all in.
Yeah, he did well for that one. And I honestly love menu planning with chefs. It's like I love the creative back and forth, and so I wish we had done that sooner. I have a quick question. What do you guys do at home when you guys cook, since you guys have such different tastes?
We cook separately at the same time.
Yeah. That's really what happens. Yep.
Yeah. Like, literally, like, this is embarrassing, but I'll say it anyway. He's making, like, some gourmet shrimp. Like, oh, I'm just, like, figuring out this, like, shrimp and Creole moment. And I'm like, I made Kraft macaroni and cheese out of the box.
That's hilarious.
But we do it at the same time.
Yeah, we do it at the same time. And we have a very small galley-like kitchen. So it's a little dance that we do.
Aw, it's so cute. Now, do you guys ever chase each other's or you just say nope?
Yeah, almost not often. He, bless his heart, he can cook sometimes sweetly for me, and he just doesn't put the spices on his until after he's separated it out.
Yeah, and that works.
So next, would you rather example, would you rather jump off the boat to a deserted island or get into a drunken argument with Jen?
Jump off a boat.
Oh, drunken argument with Jen.
Oh, you guys are so funny.
No, my problem is, like, because I don't drink, I can't argue with drunk people because they're all stupid. If I'm going to have a verbal sparring match with you, I want you to have all your faculties so that when I beat you, you know and remember.
It was a fair fight of words.
Correct.
Yeah, that's a good point. And the desert island could be nice. That could be like a little vacation.
Absolutely. And we'd be like, what's his butt? The douchey one. But as long as there's Wi-Fi.
Oh, that guy?
Yes.
Timothy, what do you guys think of him?
He's exhausting.
Oh, too much. Too much.
Too much.
Like, Captain trying too hard. Like, okay, Mr. New Money, like, calm down.
But see, that's how I felt about him when he came on the boat the first time he did. But then this time, I kind of saw beyond the obnoxious try hard, and I looked at why he was behaving that way, and what I saw was a very just wanting to be cool person, and I felt kind of bad for him.
Mm.
You're so sweet.
Yeah,
you're, I just find it annoying.
Yeah, okay.
I'm like, it took me a long time to get over my self-esteem issues and whatever, but like, sir, once you're older than like 23, like the issues that caused you to like not feel like confident in who you are, to overcompensate with your money and your time and your mouth, like, I can't.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And it's no excuse for being disrespectful to the people that are literally waiting on you hand and foot.
Or to your own friends, where he was like, let's just leave them. They can get wet. That's rude.
Not okay.
Yeah, I think you guys are a little bit right there. But these are hilarious. Would you guys rather, and I feel like I already know the answer to this, but I don't know, would you guys rather be a deckhand or a stewardess? Or stew?
Oh, stewardess. Yeah. Stew.
Stew, right?
I would be your like 18th stew, like doing only like laundry all night long before I would be a deckhand. I do not lift things.
Same.
I think I would be a deckhand. I think I would be better at that.
Yeah.
I'd be good at table set, like table presentations, but that's probably the only thing I would be good at as a stew.
You would be good at like table presentation and party planning.
Yeah.
But like the actual like anal retentive attention to detail thing is actually much more me. Yeah.
I'd be much better at hauling stuff and cleaning.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I'm surprised.
Yeah.
I wish I
could. Oh, no. Like in some other fantasy life, we're like the Bose and Chief Stew combo.
I know it. It's funny. One of our production like PAs told me, I was like, what do you think is harder? The deckhand job or the stewardess job? He said, the deckhand's job work less hours, but they have more like strenuous, difficult work in that hours, where you guys work longer spread out hours, but the work itself is not as draining.
It's still constant, though.
Yeah.
It seems draining to me. Like, when there's laundry on top of bathrooms on top of table settings on top. I mean, it just seems like it never ends.
Well, I think it also, it does go to what your skill set are. You know, there's a mental exhaustion that could happen to a stew for, like, keeping continuous lists of details in your head, like, every day starting the checklist over again. But your brain is clearly suited to that, so that part isn't the difficult part. It's making sure everyone else does the list the way that you do. You know, but it was like, I would be a deckhand for 30 minutes and be like, oh my God, I just feel like I worked out for a week. You know, so your different skill sets are suited to different areas.
Exactly. Yep. Mary Shag Kill. Just have three examples. You ready?
Bring it.
Okay. Kelly, Ben, Bruno.
Oh. Oh gosh, this is hard. Do you want to go first?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I think I would marry Ben.
Yep, I knew you'd say that.
Because that food. I think I would have to shag Kelly and kill Bruno.
Same.
That's so interesting because I, like, because I don't really care about the food, I'd probably have to marry Kelly, shag Bruno, and kill Ben.
Oh,
yeah,
poor Ben.
That's good. I could understand that, too. Because then, yeah, Bruno's is pretty cute.
And also, Kelly's great, but I could definitely, like, verbally dominate him in an argument. So, like, the marriage would be fine.
It would be, yeah, totally. He's nice, and he doesn't want to argue.
And he can,
and he
can lift things. Yes.
And yeah. He can do the heavy lifting.
Correct.
Okay. So, our next one, Mary Shag Kill, Sierra, Nico, and Jen.
Oh, I'd have to marry Nico, shag Sierra, and kill Jen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think mine's the same.
Because, like, Sierra is just sort of like a box of hair. And Jen, I just wouldn't, like, I saw that you have lovely things, but, like, the way she is in an argument, like, I would throw her off the boat. It's, like, set her on fire. And, like, even though Nico was in a weird, bitchy place all season, I could still, like, manage that marriage.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I like Nico.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
He was just a little whiny through the, like, I'm not the bosun moments. But I'm like, I can manage that marriage.
Yeah, just don't, like, bring in another husband halfway through.
Like, don't decide while we're enfianced that, like, you want to try out something else.
Exactly. I'm sure he'll appreciate that. All right, the last one for Mary Shag Kill. Bree, Chris Brown, and Chef Matt.
Ooh.
Oh, Mary Matt.
Oh, so easy. Like, no, yeah. No arguments.
Shag Bree and then Chris Brown?
Yeah.
Oh, God, no. Kill. Yeah, no, yeah. Like, yes, kill him. Yes.
Yeah, that's an easy one. Mary Matt, because he's agreeable and handsome and likes musical theater.
Yes.
Shag Bree, because she's hot. And kill Chris Brown.
Yes.
That's easy.
Yeah. And Bree was great. Like, I'd shag her a bunch. Like, not just the one obligatory one for the game. Like, she was really lovely all season.
I'm so excited for you guys. It sounds like you've had a great year and a lot of successes. And where can I find A Very Sordid Wedding? Because I want to watch it tonight.
It's literally available everywhere now. iTunes, the Blu-ray and DVD are available, but all the streaming platforms, you can get it cable video on demand. Yeah.
And Blake, do you have any upcoming performances for Blake Sings Barbara, the concert, or anything else?
I'm setting up a tour for next year, so we're working on where we're gonna send it. It's up for a few New York awards at the moment, so we're kind of waiting on those things to perhaps come in, and then we'll solidify the tour. But you can find me everywhere on social media at Blake MacIver. That's MCIVER.
Well, whenever you guys are in New York again, or I'm in California, I'd love to meet up, and I definitely want to come see you perform, Blake.
I would love that.
Yes, please.
You have a reserved seat anytime.
Yay! And I'm going to be watching A Very Sordid Wedding, so expect some messages from me later. Okay, you guys, well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. I wish we could talk longer, and I wish we didn't wait so long to talk to each other between times.
Yes, correct. Thank you so much for having us. Kate. We love it. We love you. We love the show. Congratulations on it and your continued success. You and Captain Lee are like the Heidi and Tim and the Paula and Simon. You are the reason the show is a hit, and we adore you.
Yes, we love you, and thank you for making such entertaining TV for us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and thanks again, guys. Have a good day.
You okay, too. Bye.
So as I mentioned earlier, we have double the After Deck fun this week with two interviews. So now I'm joined by the chef from the Great North, Matt Burns. Welcome to After Deck, Matt. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Kate?
I'm doing great. Where are you calling home these days? Judging by your social media, it seems like you're traveling a lot. But is Ottawa still your home base?
Yeah, Ottawa's home base. But right now, I'm currently in West Palm Beach. And going back and forth from Lauderdale to West Palm, working on boats.
Didn't you say that you just started on a yacht, like a 160?
I did, yeah. Actually, Luck had it where they needed a chef and a deck. Actually, they needed a deck camera off the hop because the boss trip came over and they said, hey, you know what, Matt, we need someone to help us. We need someone we know and trust. I was like, okay, cool. Let's do this. So I'd never been a deck hand before. So I did a deck hand work for about 4 days, and then the chef went on vacation. So I've been taking over the chef's job while he's on leave, which is really good.
Yeah, actually, we kind of discussed this when we were in New York last week. And it turns out I know I've had your yacht owners on as charter guests.
That's right. Yeah, you're telling me that. How funny is that? Small world.
It's a very small industry, yachting. But where have you guys traveled to lately? Or do you go to the Bahamas at all?
Yeah, I went to the Bahamas. You know, I forgot about the Bahamas. Look at how beautiful actually the water is. It was stunning. We were busy, but I was a deckhand in the Bahamas, so I got sunburned. I was outside the whole time. It was great. Hey, I got to give it up to the deckhands because being a deckhand, there's a lot more work than you think. These guys are full throttle. The boss wanted to go diving. He wanted to do all kinds of... He was so busy, so active, constantly doing stuff outdoors. It was just like, okay... Beach setup, this, running the tenders. I was going in the morning. I wake up. I was sore. My body was bruised. Damn.
That's so funny. I was just talking to my previous After Deck guest about this very same thing, that the deckhand job is heavy lifting. It's hard work. It's manual labor. Like a stewardess's job and a chef's job certainly is longer hours, but the work itself is not as physically demanding.
Exactly. No, it was definitely physically demanding. And I know I learned how to do the anchor chain and go down the anchor locker and flank the anchor. It's fun. I enjoyed it.
Now you enjoyed it, but did you only enjoy it because it was
temporary?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was only temporary. So, you know, just bite the bullet and do it. But I was with friends too, right? Because the captain's a friend of mine, the first officer's a friend of mine, so that made it really easy.
Oh, that makes it a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
But back to more importantly, what you really do on yachts, cooking. Where did you learn to cook, and what got you started down this culinary path?
I learned to cook. Actually, my mom taught me how to cook, and I know we were always cooking as kids. You know, I just wanted to be around the grill, wanted to be outside, wanted to be whoever's cooking and would taste something, you know, taste everything, and my mom tried. And then went to culinary school and then worked my way up through a very fancy fine dining restaurant called Restaurant 18, which is in Ottawa. And then the chef Matthew Carmichael with Sucer Lee in Toronto. So yeah, no, it's been cooking since I was like 15. But the whole yachting thing was a phone call, actually, 5 years ago. Someone had the captain had called me and they're like, we need a new chef. Our chef can't cook chicken. It's raw all the time, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, okay, I can do this. So they flew me to Boston and I started my career in yachting in Newport, Rhode Island.
How did they find you?
My buddy Bradley, who went to culinary school, he started yachting. He said, Matt, you got to do this. This industry is, you can make a lot of money. You could save all your money. You could do whatever you want, really. And you got to start this business. Okay. So I gave him my number and he gave it to the captain. And Captain Brendan Dean off Moore Yacht Encore called me.
Wow. That's pretty cool. So the yachting profession came to you. That's a pretty unique story.
Yeah, it was cool, you know, and then he picks me up. It was really cool. He picks me up at the airport. I remember being 25. And I was like, this is really neat. And then being the chef, and they threw me right into the galley. We had 10 guests the first night. I had no idea what I was doing.
Oh, my gosh. I have anxiety for you just thinking about that.
It was pretty bad, but I got it done. I got the work. The anxiety was really bad, but I got the work done, and everyone lived, so it was good.
But at the same time, when you got, like, picked up by the captain and taken to the yacht, since it was your first yacht job, were you just like in awe of how much money is just spent in this whole, like, were you like, wow, I have really landed with my ass in the butter?
Yeah. Exactly. No, it was, when you pull up the dock and you're walking down the pass, like you're walking up the passerelle and you're looking on there's so much money everywhere. I'm from a small town in Ottawa. I don't know. I've never seen this kind of money before. So it was very shocking.
Yeah. I mean, when you first start in yachting, you just can't even comprehend how much money you're surrounded by. And now that we've been doing it a while, it's like no big deal. But gosh, your first boat, it just feels like you're in a different world.
Yeah. And they had two little dogs too, which they were awesome. They're fun to be. I love having dogs in a boat. You know, it's nice to have. They're around and they're just cuddly little animals. And then if they come down to the crew mess and watch movies with you, it's great.
I feel like also any charter guest or yacht owner that has a dog and has it with them, they're kind of already like a person I'm probably going to like.
Exactly.
Like, I love dog people. Captain Lee has told me that if I ever work with him again, I'm welcome to bring Halo. And I totally would, except that you have to like quarantine your dogs for a while before you take them in a foreign country.
Right.
And I just don't think I can handle doing that. It just sounds too much work.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to meet Halo. Remember, I was in Lauderdale, and I had a chance to meet Halo for the first time.
I love that.
I love your dog. He's such a beautiful dog.
He's so good.
He is good.
But still, like, if judging from my past experience, I'm not sure I want to bring my beloved little dog onto a yacht with a bunch of green idiots running around. Like, it's for the safety of the dog, really.
Yeah, that was.
That would have been bad.
That would have been bad.
So right now you are on the yacht with the 160 in West Palm,
yeah.
And today you are on watch. Gosh, Matt, it's been so long since I've been on a yacht that had a watch schedule.
I know, right?
Holy crap! It's like both hideous and sometimes good, because for those of you who don't know what watch is, because it's such an expensive piece of machinery with so many things that can go wrong, there has to be a crew member on board at all times. So on the weekends or on days off, when everybody else is getting off the boat, we have a rotating schedule where one of us has to stay on the boat, walk around, check the engine room, and it's kind of like you have to work an extra day alone. It's like you're grounded.
Today's Sunday, right? So it's actually quite nice because everyone's off the boat.
That's when it's nice.
Yeah, I have the whole boat to myself. So I'm watching, I already have a movie. I already just watched a movie. It's been great. And you just do whatever you want. You can do what you want, but you just can't leave the boat.
Which is fine if everybody else leaves the boat, because then you've got the yacht to yourself. The thing that sucks is when you're on watch and people stay on the boat and you're like, I think it's kind of like a unspoken rule. If it's a weekend watch, you have to leave the boat, because at least the person that's grounded and cannot get off themselves, like, they at least get a little personal space. Like, if you're just hanging around the crew mess and, you know, watching TV, the watch person's like, that's what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, it's your time to get off the boat. It's that Sunday. go to the beach or go to the Avocado Grill or do something. Just get off.
Or if you're not going to leave the boat, tell me I can leave the boat. But there should not be two of us here.
Exactly.
Yeah. So back to my cooking questions. But it's so funny that you're on watch. How's your watch going today? Do you have anybody on the boat?
No, I need this watch day. Yesterday was a big night. We celebrated. We had a birthday party and it got a little crazy. But
you're drinking the Jesus juice again. Yeah.
Exactly. Got in pretty late. Got a little crazy.
Yeah, that's another time watches are good when you're hungover. Because it's like you're being lazy just watching. I watched like 4 seasons of Dexter on one watch in Mexico on a boat in Mexico.
I love Dexter.
Yeah, I did too after that one watch. But like it kind of, you feel justified for just being lazy and watching Netflix all day. You have to.
It's like a rain day.
Yeah, exactly. We love our rain. Okay,
we love our rain days.
What holiday traditions do you like to cook during Christmas time?
Well, in my family, we do kind of like Thanksgiving all over again. we do the turkey. We do the stuff.
But do you guys do Thanksgiving in the first place? You're from Canada.
Yeah, we do Thanksgiving. Ours is a month before
yours.
So I know. Oh. And then we just kind of do turkey and stuff. We just do it all over again because we love it so much. That's what my mom does. And, you know, I just help out in the kitchen. And she's very territorial. My mom, she's like, she won't let me cut anything or do anything. Like, just kind of like, give me something to do. I'm like, no, she takes care of it. Yeah.
You and your mom are super close, though. It's cute. Like, I think you're saying this like in a playful, funny way. Because I remember on the boat, you were like talking to them quite often, sending presents home, flowers.
Right. Yeah. Mother's Day.
Well, that's a good point. I don't think my mom got it. No, it wasn't. Oh, Canadian Mother's Day.
No. No, I send her flowers. Yeah, we're very close, my mom and I. My whole family. Actually, you got a chance to meet my brother as well, remember?
Yes, I did. He's darling. How much younger is he than you?
He's 9 years younger than me. He's 22.
That's a big age difference in siblings.
Oops, baby.
So you guys just do turkey stuffing?
Yes, stuffing. We do.
So what does your mom let you do?
She lets me clean up afterwards.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no. She's into it. Like she'll give me cutting board. I'll do some things, but there's things like the turkey. She won't let me ever come close. No, this is my recipe. She's very. It is playful though.
Wow. Do you think there will ever become a point in your life where you're old enough, grown up enough, or she trusts you enough to like handle the stuffing or maybe the sweet potato casserole or any of it?
I hope so.
Just waiting for that approval from mom.
Yeah, come on, Ma. Let me do this.
Oh, that's funny. She should be a charter guest. That'd be hilarious.
Oh, she'd be a great charter guest.
She's
a handful.
But now let's go into Below Deck. How'd you enjoy the season?
You know, Kate, I loved the season. I had a great experience. It was tough work. One of the hardest seasons I've ever done. Like I was back to back to back charters and different charter guests every three days. So it was just it was hectic, but I loved it. I had a good time. It made me a better chef.
Yeah, you really killed it on the Timothy Sykes charter. That's my favorite. The season finale of the season of Below Deck is my favorite season finale episode because everybody just, despite our differences, pulls it together and delivers a great charter.
Yes, it was a great charter.
So what did you think of the season finale? I felt so bad when I saw you had to go clear the meal because Jen was taking so long to be a mime and I was throwing a circus. There's a lot going on. I really appreciate it, but how'd you feel about that? You just wanted to show off your foie gras.
I just want the foie gras. Come on. Yeah. No, I felt fine about it. You guys are doing your thing. Being a chief steer for people that don't know, it takes a lot. There's a lot of work that goes into involved planning. I think you said that to Kyle too. You're planning this, you're throwing these parties, you're all over the place. You're trying to get everything organized and, you know, it just, you slip, you know, one slip up. So I was there. I got your back.
Yeah, you're the best, and you just handled it so well. I'm actually going to tell a story that's also a slip-up for me, but it was a complete, like, freak of nature accident that they didn't show. But this is the beginning of the season, and this is when I knew you were such a kind human. It was
I don't know which charter it was, but they had asked for a steak to be cooked really well done or something to recook it. So we were already like in a rush because they were like, oh, I just want it cooked a little bit more. So I come back and then they're all waiting to eat it. So then you finally were like, get the steak on the plate. And you put it on the plate and I just go turn to go serve it and it flies off the plate in front of the whole crew and lands on the floor with the most resounding thud. And I was like, this is when he's going to lose it. Any chef would be like, what the hell is wrong with you? And there was a pregnant pause of silence where we all like, how's this going to end? And you just said, okay. Oh, God.
I remember, you turned around really quickly and it just slipped off the plate. And I went,
it was like in slow motion.
It was. And it hit the ground. I went, oh, my.
Yeah.
Big deep breath.
Yeah.
A big deep breath and going, okay, we got this. We can do this.
I mean, that you must have swallowed a lot of curse words that moment, but you handled it so lovely. So I thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I have to know, Timothy Sykes at the end of the charter, he says on his way out that he was going to DM you for some recipes. Did Timothy Sykes ever DM you?
He did. He got in touch with me, actually. I forget the woman's name, because she wanted a lot of recipes from like the vegetarian meals that I made for. Yeah, something you don't see on the episode is, I made a lot of vegetarian meals for this
lady. Oh, that's
right. And she wanted the eggplant recipe. She wanted the mango salad recipe. She just wanted a bunch. So I gave it to her. He got in contact with me, and I gave him the recipes, and she was very thankful. And Timmy Sykes he's actually a really nice guy.
I know. I actually think he's just, any bad perception people get from him, they don't understand that he's just trying. Everybody wants to be loved, and he just really wants it so bad.
Yeah, he does. if you see him on Instagram, he's just like, every second, it's like story. Like, I get it, Tim Sykes. You're flying all over the world. You're eating sushi in Japan in one day, and the next day you're flying into Chicago. I get it. You're a busy man, but it is. I had to stop. I probably should stop following him.
I don't even think I do. I definitely don't click on a story.
No.
I don't know if I'm following him, but he's nice enough. And I thought that his last charter, he had a lot of specifics about it, but at the end of the day, we delivered what he wanted and it was a lovely evening. So
yeah,
I don't think he's that crazy. My favorite part of the season finale and the season maybe was our last day of charter, and it was just me and you in the galley, and you kind of like have an appreciation for some good musical entertainment, musical theater, right? And we kind of started breaking into song. And here's another thing I was surprised did not make it on the show. Probably why my body hurts.
I know, that was awesome. And there's so much fun.
We had so many remixes, lyrics, like. For the listeners who don't know, haven't heard our hit single, Probably Why My Body Hurts.
So I've been washing the boat so much, it's probably because my body hurts.
I met a sailor at the bar, he was nice enough. I went back to his boat, which is probably why my body hurts. I mean, the last day, somebody in production text messaged me like 2 months later, like I was sitting in traffic on the 404 or whatever. And I was started saying, this is probably why my body hurts. Like, I just think that it's a really good song that everybody in the world, not just in yachting, could apply to their life. You know,
we should do a video. You and I, we should do a video of Probably Why My Body Hurts.
Oh, I love that song. What would your last meal be?
Paella.
Paella?
Mm-hmm.
If you were on death row and they're like, okay, Mr. Burns, it's time to get in the chair. They're going to give you any meal. You would say, I want a paella.
I want a fresh paella with the best mussels, the best shrimp, the best shellfish. I love, it's funny. I've had way too much steak the last couple days.
You are such a spoiled yachty. That is such.
I know.
There was one season I was like, if I have to eat lobster another time, I am just, going to die. Okay, so that question about what your last meal would be, that was a question on Twitter from Emily O'Connor at eocons. Now we have a question for you from Twitter at joeregular57. Would you ever be interested in competing on a show like Top Chef?
Absolutely. I think that would be so much fun.
I think you'd be really great at it. But I also know that you love teaching cooking. Have you? Isn't that kind of like an ultimate dream? You'd like to start up a culinary school?
Oh my gosh, yeah, I would love that. See, the dream is one day to have to open up a culinary school where you like someone can come in instead of going to a dinner or a movie. Why don't you come to my studio? I'll teach you how to cook. We put aprons on. Play some good music, bring your own booze if you want, and we could drink wine and cook together and just have a great night.
That sounds lovely. I'm in. Would you do that in Ottawa?
I'm not sure yet. You know, that's the thing about being a Yachty. Oh. Just after 6 years of doing, like seven years doing this now, it's you just become like, I guess, nomadic in the sense, because you're never really putting your head down. I just get itchy feet after 6 months of staying anywhere.
Yeah, I think you'll get over that eventually, because it's kind of nice to have somewhere to hang your hat. But I think maybe your blood's thinned out and you're starting to like the warm weather.
Definitely. I actually spoke to my brother this morning, and he was not happy to put on his layers this morning.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit. Okay, well, another question. This is from Twitter, Cundy Rutledge, but she wants to know, did you see your ex after filming, or did you guys get back together? What's your dating status?
My dating status? The moment I'm single. After filming, we went, I did get back with my girlfriend, the ex-girlfriend, but I realized that I still like to have fun. I still like to party, and that wasn't, you know, what she wanted to do in a relationship. And I said, well, you know, it's probably best that we're not a match. We're not a good match. I still like to party.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know during the season you were cutting back on the drinking, but that wasn't like a life decision. That was just like a, maybe while I'm here on this hectic charter, I should just like take that out of my life so I can focus on work. But it wasn't like once you got out of filming, you're still having a good time.
I went on a road trip. It was amazing. But no, go back to that question. No, I'm single at the moment. And
single and doing pretty good, aren't you?
I'm having fun.
Your dance card stays full.
What's that?
Your dance card stays pretty full, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's fun. I like it.
I mean, I think you've gotten some feedback on social media, and I think a lot of them happen to be single females looking to mingle, right?
Yeah, you can say that.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that.
Come on, I'm sure you do. Once in a while.
Not yet. I'll check my DMs after this podcast airs. Fingers crossed.
I'll DM you.
Oh, yay. Thank you. I'm checking it now. Would you rather continue in yachting, cook in a restaurant, or, like you just mentioned, start your school? Like, how long do you see yourself doing yachting? That question, by the way, is from Twitter, from Ravenclaw81.
I'd probably another 4 years. I could see myself yachting for another 4 years. Off and on, though. Nothing, you know, just freelancing.
Freelance is the best because you have a light at the end of the tunnel.
Exactly.
I mean, I'll do a 3-month freelance, but I want to know that I'm definitely leaving after 3 months.
Yeah, you want to go back home.
Or just get off that damn boat.
And right now, there are people some of the crew just got back from their, you know, for back on the boat. I'm like, what are you doing back so early? It's still sun outside. Go outside. Go enjoy it.
You don't have to be on deck until 8. Come back at 6 a.m.
Exactly.
Now we're going to do Yachty and Dinghy of the Week. Matt, after seeing the season finale, who is your pick for Dinghy of the Week?
Dinghy of the Week, I gotta say Bruno.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Bruno really disappointed me a little bit there. He was he's a good kid, good guy, just tries a lot, and he's just putting his nose where it shouldn't be. And, you know, he got hurt from it. Captain Lee said it perfectly. He doesn't feel bad because, well, he wasn't paying attention, and he hurt himself because, yeah, he wasn't focused.
Yeah, I think that Bruno does. I appreciate that he would help you in the kitchen and that he wanted to, you know, help by giving the interior advice. But the problem I always had with him was that I don't feel like his help came with good intentions. They were more like ego-based. Like, he wanted to show off what he could do rather than help.
Yeah. Exactly. That's actually really well said.
And what about for your Yachty of the Week?
Oh, I'm going to give it to Baker.
Baker always wins.
I know. She's good.
She is good. She's good. She's agreeable. She's not negative. In fact, I think that everybody in everyday life could be a lot more like Baker. You know, she doesn't let the small sh- bother her, and she tries to not even let it bother other people. She's a peacemaker.
She is a peacemaker. Absolutely. Now she actually helped me. You don't see this in the show, but she actually helped me in the galley a couple times too.
And what she
people
did.
Have to, yeah. And what people have to understand is that when on a yacht during charter, when the deckhands are, you know, when the sun's set and it's night and everyone changes in their nights, we have a deckhand come in and clean the dishes. But once all the dishes are clean, they're just standing there. So, you know, that's one thing. When Bruno was there, and I said, "Hey, listen, would you like food?" He's like, "Yeah, okay." We make small talk, but once in a while, he's just standing there. So I might as well give him something to do. And that's why Bruno stayed in the galley, because I was like, "This guy can cut. He can, you know, he's got ideas, and I'm gonna use it."
Yeah, all hands on deck. Teamwork makes the dream work. But Baker was such. She would help out wherever she was asked.
Exactly. And
that's why she always wins.
And she asked a lot of questions, which is good. Because that's how you learn.
Yes, Baker, you're so great. I agree with you. And for on After Deck Podcast Twitter account, we ask the fans and the viewers and the listeners to vote for their picks. So for their pick for Dinghy of the Week, just like Baker wins all the time, because she did. She won Yachty of the Week. Jen always gets Dinghy of the Week. And it's like 66% landslide. And I can see why they would say that. I mean, nobody else is even close enough to be worth mentioning. I mean, Jen had her, I think, one of her worst episodes towards the end here. But I think also she was just cabin fevered out. Because you were there. Yeah, you were there. You know that we did have some good.
She was always late and just like, but she was good to, have around. Kind of, I don't want to say she was her job, but she was her job. But at the same time. She was good to have around so that, you know, she had funny jokes and she was good to, you know, just for more moral support.
Yeah, it was just funny to listen to you say that, but it's true. She was good for morale at times. Mm-hmm. Because she was so not focused on the job that it kind of like, for us that were so focused on the job, she would like lighten it up and remind us that some people think of things other besides yachting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I do want to say that on our After Deck Tweets Twitter poll for Yachty of the Week this week, you were a very close second to Baker. Like, it was neck and neck. And I think it was definitely well-deserved because the amount of food you put out for the level of demanding guest we had was incredible. You really did great. Is it fun to watch yourself make all those beautiful dishes and really just killing it?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And honestly, it was so much fun to collaborate with you, put our minds together and just go sit at that bar and just kind of come up with a plan to execute for Tim Sykes. I mean, he's no walk in the park. He's a tough guy to please. And we did it. So it was good.
Yeah, I love collaborate. It's just really fun to bounce ideas off. And I also thought it would be a lot more productive than like going to dinner with the crew and just talking shit. So everybody won.
Oh, you know, one thing I said that didn't show was, remember walking on the dock and we're talking about fish and fresh fish and suddenly.
Yes.
Remember that? Those fishermen that just pulled in their fresh catch, fresh wahoo. It was perfect.
It was like a miracle. It was like serendipitous. See, you're the chef, so you remember that. At that point, I was like, okay, well, we bounced ideas off. I'm going to bed. I'm probably going to go drink some champagne. See ya. And then, but you were so like still in the creative culinary zone that you saw the fishing boat pull in right at that moment. And you got so much beautiful fresh fish from them.
It was like Christmas.
Christmas came early. Yeah. And I had never seen that fishing boat on our dock before. And they literally pulled up just as we were walking back.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Christmas miracle. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope that you enjoy the rest of your watch. It usually goes to, what, 10 p.m.?
I'm going to sneak in a little early, maybe 9 o'clock tonight.
I hope your captain doesn't listen to After Deck.
I'm sure you do. He'll love it. He loves it. He actually really loves you. Yeah.
Aw, thank you. Well, have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Kate.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed listening to my chat with Blake and Emerson and also Chef Matt. And I hope you guys enjoyed the season finale episode of Below Deck. I honestly think it was my favorite season finale, possibly Below Deck episode ever. No, I love my rocket ship episode. I'll always like love that one. But I love the season finale because I think it ended on such a high note of all the crew working together for our best theme night party with the most over-the-top Uber XL display of fireworks I've ever seen in my life. They were so close. I felt like I was on an acid trip. The fireworks were like almost falling on our heads. They were so close. And it was our most discerning, high-maintenance guest of the season, and he left happy. So I feel like it was a perfect way to end the season. Although I am a little sad. It's been such a good season, and I hope you guys have all enjoyed watching us take care of our charter guests and some of the crew members learn along the way. So check your local listings because next week we have the Below Deck reunion with Andy Cohen, and you guys are not going to want to miss that. It was a lot of fun for all of us to get together. More fun for some than others, especially after we've all been able to see what we all said behind each other's back the entire season. But I still think it was a wonderful time had by all. And listen in next week also for our season finale episode of After Deck, where I will be joined by the one, the only, Captain Lee, who was also my first guest on After Deck. So it's a nice full circle moment. Don't forget to follow After Deck Podcast on Twitter at After Deck Tweets and on Instagram at After Deck Insta, and send in all of your comments and questions about what you thought of this season of Below Deck and what you think will happen at the reunion. Don't forget to vote for your pick for Yachty of the Week and Dinghy of the Week on our Twitter poll at After Deck Tweets. And actually, I'd like to hear who you guys want to vote for Yachty of the Season and Dinghy of the Season, although I have a feeling I might know what the results will be. See you next week on the Below Deck reunion on Bravo TV, and be sure to listen in for our season finale of After Deck.
You are now listening to the After Deck.